I mean, how many people saw it? You read through, you saw it. Yes, only pastor. You saw it there. Leviticus 19, what, 28? 19:28. He said, you shall not tattoo your body. It's there. Can you imagine that? It was written way back, and he said, you shall not. So, today, when we say, you know, ordinarily I tell people, when they ask me, I say, well, whatever you do, you say, I just feel like it. I just feel like it. I say, make sure you hide it very well. Because, you, again, man looks on the outward. And the moment some people see it, that's why you won't get a job. That's why you won't get a contract. Or that might be why. Let me put it correctly, okay? That might be why. So you see it, you see some people put it, and you feel like I should do it. It has consequences because people always address you the way they see you. The thing they see, somebody once said, you never have a second chance to make a first impression. So the guy has seen you, he has made an impression of you. It's difficult. That's the reason, you know, am I getting across? Or I'm sounding like I'm more olden day somebody? Only the old people are agreeing with me. Young people, am I speaking? You know, it's the reason why we don't go for job interviews in shorts. How many people go for a job interview and you wear your nice knickerbocker? What do you call it? You wear your nice knickerbocker, your favorite hooded top. And they say, come for a job interview, you wear your favorite hooded top, your nice boots, and your knickerbocker. And you come in. Says IT. Somebody say, hey, but it's an IT job now. It's an IT job now. When you sit down, you employ them in your IT department. So some things are basic. God said what? Man looks on the outward. So God himself told you, he said, this is what man does. You violate it, you're in trouble. God had warned you before that men don't look at the heart. They look at the outward first. That's what they do to assess. Amen. Hallelujah. So I thought we needed to. So my title, actually, as I was praying all week, what was coming to me was, what's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? Those who are old enough will know the song. Have you? What's love got to do with it? What's love got? Have you? You know the words? Okay. Oh yeah, please help me project. No, help me project, because what exactly is that song talking about? Don't worry, I've not gone canal. What is the song talking about? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? So what is the song talking about? Love has nothing to, does love have something to do with this heart to heart matter? Yes, okay. Let's see. What's Tina Turner say? She says, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? I like that. You understand? I like that one. He said, what is love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Now, when he says love is nothing but a second-hand emotion, clearly she's talking about that emotion, that one that everybody tends to, you know, talk about. And she's saying it's second hand. I once bought a second hand car. Not once, I bought many. But there was this particular one. Okay. I bought this car. It was so bad that I drove it from where I bought it straight to my mechanic to sell. I'm not a car dealer, you understand? But when you buy something, you got there, you saw the thing you were buying. And you say, hey. You know how they say, you know, so I looked at the thing, I said, hi, look at the thing. I saw the thing, I said, oh my God, what did I buy? I was so depressed, I couldn't drive it to it couldn't get to my house. I drove it straight to my mechanic, I said, take the key, sell this car. What am I talking about? Now, if it was I had made a commitment to buy the car before I saw it. Okay, I'd committed. I knew the car before. And I committed, I said, that car, I want that car. And the person I would tell you, I said, I want the car. you know, I said I want to buy the car because I knew that the person had not been around and the car had been parked. But apparently, some people there had been using it. So I went and I bought and I saw. That's second hand. Now, if that car was brand new, how many people know that there's no fear? Are you hearing what I'm saying? If it was a brand new car, I look at it in a brochure. I will pay for it and I'll be confident. But because it was brand new, it was second hand. Second hand emotion. What am I talking about? It's unreliable. Are you still there? It's unreliable. So there are a number of unreliable things like that emotion. Okay? I tell people, the emotion is good. And I think we established, or somebody mentioned that on Thursday. You know, you have to have some, there will be some emotion. You have to be attracted to the person. You have emotions for the person that you want to marry and you are thinking of and all that. All of those things are there. But understand that is undependable. That's what I'm trying to point out to you. Okay? And that's what Tina Turner too was telling you. That is undependable. You can't build on that. Let's look at one or two scriptures. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs the 5th chapter. And if you don't believe me, ask some of the married people. Okay? Because if you are there, and you are thinking, I should be from gish. Look at verse 18. He said, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let, okay, now see this as what? A commandment, okay? Let your fountain be blessed, so you do something. Allow this to be, do something about this, and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving day and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Again, look at the word let. And always be what? Enraptured with her love. Now, what does that mean? It means that there's a possibility that I will not be enraptured. Abby? Are you still here? It means that emotion itself is not necessarily steady. It's not necessarily there all of the time. I have to do something. Let be enraptured. You know, I must be working at this thing. Are you still there? So you can't build. You can't build your home, your relationship, and all of that just on the emotions. Hallelujah. Go to Titus chapter 2. And while you are finding that, are there days you don't feel married? Married people. Are there days you don't feel married? You just wake up. There's no gish anything. You are just you. Are there days you are just you? Every day. You have to look for money. These are men. They are hard-hearted. You know, years ago, my wife said, you are not hard-hearted. You are heartless. You have no heart. Not that you have a heart of stone, you don't have one, no heart. So, men can be very difficult, isn't it? So, are there days you just don't feel, not one day, that you don't feel, you feel it every day. Now, mommy, sorry. Every day. You know when we're young, what was raining was, what do you call them? Indian movie. Huh? And you were, darling, darling, that many of you used to watch them, I mean, Dramendra. And they must always sing, darling. You feel like that all the time. So there are days you are looking at the person and, No, answer now. Are there days you are looking at the person and you are not feeling gish? There's no, the person who touches, there's no electric current.
no voltage.
Yes, you feel. Sometimes it's even anger. Sometimes it's frustration.
So not even low voltage. Sometimes it is shocking. You know, because electricity can be good. But sometimes it's shocking, it's destroying. Eh?
They are bringing down the... Are you getting what we're saying? Are you with me? So you can't build on that. Look at Titus chapter 2. It says from verse 1, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." So this is sound doctrine. Are you hearing me? It says, "Speak the things that are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children." Let's stop it there. Are you with me? So this is sound doctrine. Okay, then he says, you should teach the younger women, particularly, that's where I'm going, teach the younger women to love their husbands. Now that word love there is that love of be fond of. Be fond of their husbands. Now, I'm thinking to myself, if it can be taught, it means that it may and it may not be there. Are you getting what I'm saying? I think that speaks a bit to some of the romance. I mean, it means that you can be taught. You can learn a bit more about how to be fond of. Okay? But that also, on the flip side, means that that fondness is not necessarily going to just be there all of the time. And there are things you can do to improve it. And there are times when you don't do certain things, it doesn't help it. It's just almost non-existent sometimes because you are not doing certain things. So you can make it happen. You can make it not happen. My real point to start with is that it is not steady by itself. Are you with me? And because it is not steady, it makes it not to be dependable. Can I have an amen? When he says in verse 2, you know, you teach the men to be sound in love. The word love that he uses there is different from the word love he uses in verse 4. The word love there in verse 2 is the word agape, the God kind of love, the love that you love irrespective of. Okay? How you just love unconditionally. And then he says you can teach. The other women can still teach the other women. And he uses another different word. And he says that word is what? Is being fond of. That can be taught. So the fondness can be taught. But you had better make sure that you are sound in agape just as you are sound in faith. Did you get my point? Okay, so if you then look at that and you take it, and you go to Ephesians chapter 5. So if you go to Ephesians chapter 5, you will now see that the sustenance of a home where God now explicitly began to teach us about marriage, you will now see that when he says in Ephesians chapter 5, of course you start from verse 22, but that's not my emphasis today. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head, and all that. Verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in a few things. Are you here? The wives be to their husbands in how many things? Huh? Everything. That was a test to see if you're alert. Okay, so that's not the emphasis. Verse 25. Then he says what? Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So now when he begins to talk about love in the real context of marriage, and you're thinking of sustainable relationships and all of that, then he says you must be sound in love. You must build, because marriage is built not on the fond kind of love, which are not on eros, which is the gish electric current kind of love. He said, but you must be rather sound and strong in what we call agape. Are you with me? So the word he uses for the marriage, when he began to teach about marriage, was actually the God kind of love, the unconditional kind of love. And what does that mean? It means that if we put it in today's parlance, when people say marriage is 50-50, wrong, it's not. It's 100-100. Are you hearing me? Actually, not 100-100, that may not be correct. It's 100%, 100%. Not 50-50, but 100% from each side. If you have 100%, that's a whole. Okay? It means that ideally you can't add to it. It's 100%, 100% that you put in, meaning that I will love you in spite of you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Meaning that I love you despite who you are or who you are not. I love you as you are. I love you not because you did or didn't do, but I just love you. Are you still here? Now, it's when you are sound in that you are ready and can build a good, strong, happy home. If you keep looking at what the person said, what the person didn't say, what he did, what he didn't do, how he looked, you know, six pack, one pack, amusement pack, all of those things are changing. Proverbs 31 verse 30 tells us what? It says, beauty is vain and charm is deceitful. All of those things are vain. I mean, it's good. You want to have, I mean, people have specs, isn't it? This is my spec. That's my spec. It has to be 6 feet, what? 6 feet two. I saw some twins, a set of twins at the supermarket the other day. And I kept looking at them until they left. These guys were big. So when me myself, I'm looking at somebody, I kept looking at them like, wow. And both of them were that same height, big like this. Then their mom was with them. She was small like this. I looked at her again. I said, how does mama take to her? You know, big guys. So you have all of those specs. The Bible says the speck is deceitful. That's what it says in Proverbs 31. It's deceitful. It doesn't say don't have it, but it's saying when something is deceitful, what the English will say is what? Take it with a pinch of salt. Meaning don't hold too tightly to it. Are you hearing me? It means don't be so inflexible. It has to be this. No, it has to be this. If that is the real reason why you are dating somebody and eventually marrying that person, then you are built on very shaky, rocky ground. Is it not important? No, it is. But I'm saying it's not your number one priority. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not your number one priority because that is shaky. The number one priority is how sound in agape you are and he or she is. Are you with me? Okay, very quickly, go to 1 Corinthians 13 and then we'll see why. Why is that so important? 1 Corinthians 13. So we've established that, yes, there are all these other things, but they're ephemeral, they are temporary, they are undependable, it's secondhand emotion and all of that, so it's undependable, so it can't be what a sustainable, happy home would be based on. Okay? But we've also seen that, yes, you can teach. So I have a series I'm working on, you know, which is Till Death Do Us Part. And I'm trying to address all the reasons people give for saying that they must, you know, divorce. We are incompatible. I just don't feel it anymore. You know, and I'm saying the Bible says be enraptured with the love. The Bible says teach. Then how can you not? I mean, it means that you can grow this thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It means you can work on this thing and build it again. Yeah, I don't feel it. I know you don't feel it, but you can change that situation. You can make it happen. Are you there? However, that is not what you build it on. The first thing is this one called agape. Are you there? Now, let's look at it from verse 4 to 8. What is that agape, that love? It says, the love is the type that suffers long. It is kind. It does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Are you still there? Now imagine, just imagine, that you were married to somebody who suffers long. What does that mean? What would that mean? Love suffers long. What does that mean? Yeah, someone who bears, who you've done something. She doesn't. You get what I'm saying? Just takes it in and endures. Okay? Suffers long. Does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Are you there? No pride. Doesn't behave rudely. Just imagine. Imagine that kind of a spouse. Are you with me? Does not seek his own. So it's not after his now can be his or us. Are you hearing me? So this is Bible Now, love for everybody. Okay? Does not seek its own. So this person is not after their own right. I must be right. I must fight this fight to the end and prove that I am right. This person is ready to be wrong, even if they are right. You know what that means? It means all what you are saying is not true. But the person say, okay, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. You know, and ready to accept. Are you there? Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things. So when you say, what did you do with this money? This is what I did. Okay. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. How many fights will you have with that person? Huh? No fight. Now, ask yourself, am I that person? You understand? So now turn it around and say, am I that person? Am I that person that is difficult to fight with? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody once asked, he said, will you marry yourself? I want to marry. He said, will you marry you? As you know yourself, and all the things you know about yourself, will you marry yourself? Or when you see yourself, I say, God, you can't do this to me. God, you can't do this to me. You have to find me somebody else. It can't be him. It can't be. That's you. Eh? So the point is, you need to work on yourself. Church is quiet now. I know those online are shouting, praise the Lord. But the people here are very quiet. They are not answering me again. Are you still there? Tap your neighbor. Say, I know he's not talking about you. Okay, something else I want to say. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7. And these are just scriptures to try to establish some of these things. And that is that singleness is not a disease. Are you with me? It's not a disease. So maximize your singleness. Or singled, I don't know the grammar. Maximize it. Okay? There's nothing wrong with your being single. Maximize it, but don't also, and that speaks to some of the things we were saying that day, you know, when should you get in a relationship, blah, blah, blah. If you are not ready to get married, don't. You understand? Don't. Because you are just going to get into trouble. Waste somebody's time, get into trouble. You know, I've asked people, I say, when are you getting married? You see? You know, I asked another, I told you one story on Thursday. I asked somebody else, and I said, when are you getting married? He said, no, I'm not thinking about it. I said, my friend, what are you not thinking about? You are finished. You are working. Your fiance has finished school now. I said, she's working. I said, what is your plan? He said, I'm not thinking. I said, start thinking. Start thinking about it now. You know. I said, otherwise you'll give us emergency invitation. And that's exactly what happened. Okay? When you just hang in there, no plans, you are looking for trouble. Are you with me? So 1 Corinthians 7, let's take a long read actually. Well, if you read it well, it says, now concerning virgins, verse 25, I have no commandment from the Lord. Yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for what? A man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I will spare you. It's Bible I'm reading. Are you there? So Paul was saying, look, when you're married, there are challenges you deal with, and there's also the fact that you are not just dealing with yourself. If you read further down, it says in verse 32, but I want you to be without care. That's what he was talking about, okay? That is the trouble in the flesh. He said, I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. So the unmarried person has the opportunity. Being single gives you the opportunity to focus on God and just deal with God and the things of God and grow in God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, but he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife or her husband. You can't just wake up and say you are in retreat. You're in retreat, so there's no food. You are fasting, so... That's what he's saying, that you have to start thinking about the other person. Whereas the single person has the right to get up and say, today is fasting and prayer all true. The other person has to think, what will happen in the house? What about this? What about that? That's what he was talking about. There's an advantage. It's still quiet in this Methodist church. Sorry, is this Surpassing Grace Assembly? Yes. Yes. Not a Methodist church. Okay, good. You're very quiet. Maybe I entered the Catholic Church in error. So it says in verse 35, and this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. But if any man thinks he's behaving improperly, so he's saying, look, I advise you to stay single. That's what he was saying, more or less. He says, but if any man thinks he's behaving improperly towards his virgin, if she's past the flower of her youth, and thus he must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. So don't just hang around. That's what he's saying. Don't just hang around a lady, hang around a guy, and you're just... He says, look, there's no wahala. Go and marry. Instead of acting improperly around the person. It's not a sin if you marry. So even though I'm telling you that there's an advantage to being single, he's saying, hey, don't let it become improper. When you are going around with somebody all of the time, you are going around all the time, we go and buy sweets together, we go and buy biscuit together. When you get to church, save me seats by your side. Then we ask you, what's going on? You say, nothing. Are you there? You know, when you are going to marry her. So avoid all the relationships that have no direction. Are you still with me? When you are close, and everybody is seeing, you are saving seats, you are doing this, you are doing that, and then you are saying nothing, you are too close. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, are you hearing me? You need to fix it and decide what exactly is this and where are we going. And if we've been going for so long, when is it going to, where is the destination and when? Hallelujah. Let me read just one or two more scriptures. I'm not sure of how many. 1 Thessalonians. But I think some of these scriptures and Uche would correct me if I'm wrong or right. I think Pastor Enwa also has the questions. These scriptures are addressing generally all of those things. Okay? So 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Which is, I mean, a regular struggle about purity. You know, purity. What should you do? First, again, let's repeat something we said on Thursday, which is that God's principles have not changed. Okay? We can modernize anything, like somebody wrote in the question. Now we are talking of breakfast. I remember the first time I heard the word. I had no clue. You know, so I used to go, when I go on walks in the morning, there's a pharmacy in my neighborhood, so I would go there. And generally me, I play with everybody around. If I'm checking in at the airport, I greet, And in fact, I remember my daughter asked me one day, why do you always talk and play with everybody? I said, because they are almost like robots to most people. You just come, you pass them something, you collect something, you walk away. I said, so I like to cheer them up as real human beings and talk to them and try to make their day. So I will go in there, sometimes check my blood pressure, and then we'll talk. I talk to them, so virtually all of them knew me from the guard at the door. Everybody knew me. So there's this particular pharmacist. We'll talk. So she got talking, told me about her relationship and all of that. And then she told me something and said, breakfast. Ah. I said, breakfast. I am an egg. tea and meat. And bread. Then you dip it inside, Or akara and ogi. And she looked at me in disbelief that, where did you drop from? Said, breakfast now. I said, in all honesty, I don't know what you're talking about. Please tell me what you're saying. And I said, it means that when you serve breakfast, it means the person, you broke. I said, oh, okay. Thank you for education this morning. So now I have a clue. But whatever it is, we may change the language. We may even change our culture. Culture is dynamic. But God's word remains the same. Are you with me? Meaning that God's standards remain the same. That doesn't change. And one of the important things to note about that is that God knew the end from the beginning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he's the author of everything we're talking about, including marriage. He was the one who first said in Genesis, it is not good for man to be alone. Okay? Stupid man as man was, man was looking. He named all the animals, the Bible said. And then he said something. There was a phrase he used in Genesis. He said, but there was not found a mate, a companion for man. Meaning when he was naming them, he was looking at elephants. The elephant. Elephant. He looked at, said this one, lion. But his teeth. The teeth is too scary. So he didn't even know what will fit him. You understand what I'm talking about? So that's why the Bible said there was not found. It means there was a finding going on. Are you there? And it was God that said, no, it's not good for this guy to be alone. I will make him a companion, adaptable, suitable, that fits him. So how do we now become smarter than the author? How do we think that we know how to do it better than the author? So that's why when you come to even some of the, and like I said, we've started doing everything now by emotion and by human intellect. Hosea 5:11 says that Ephraim has gone into bondage because he willingly walked by human precepts. He decided he was going to go by human precepts, so he gets himself into bondage. Okay, when we start doing things that way and we decide we can ignore what the word of God says, it always ends up in trouble. Are you with me? So God's standards remain the same. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4, are you with me? Look at verse 3. It says what? For this is, this is the will of God, your sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. So that covers everything. Okay? Hebrews 13:4 talks about the married bed is undefiled. He said, but fornicators and adulterers. So it's breaking it down a little bit. Okay? Fornication, you are not married. Adultery, you are married, but you are with somebody else that you are not married to. Okay? But he says here, whatever you want to call it, every form of sexual immorality, he says, this is the will of God. that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you, this is very important, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. That means that I must have the wisdom to know what works for me and what doesn't work for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Please note the questions really that we haven't read particularly, but this is, I'm giving biblical foundation for everything, okay? What works for me and what doesn't work for me? I am recalling a question where the person is saying, somebody, I'm dating somebody who is pressuring me, you know, to have sex, is it with her or with him? You understand what I'm saying? And you have to know what works for you. You have to know where, I'm not saying, I mean, sex outside of marriage is wrong. But what I'm saying is this, even for those who are not pressuring you, as it were, but there's the temptation. You need to know how to guard against the temptations. What works for me is I can't hold hands because it's not low voltage, high voltage. You know, when I hold a hand, we are lovely born-again Christians, but when I hold a hand, the voltage is very high. It goes straight to my brain. Are you hearing me? Then he says, sorry, we cannot hold hands. So what's wrong with you? You are doing casco, brother. I say, yes. Yes, please. I want to go to heaven. Let me do casco. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's what works for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what he's saying here. You have to know what works. Certain things, other people might do them. I'm talking about simple things so holding hands is a simple thing. But somebody says, sorry, I can't do it. Don't take that for granted and say, oh, what's wrong with you? Let's be understanding about it. Are you still there? Of course, you go to, the other question people ask is, of course, how far can you go? Why do you want to know? Why do you want to know? It's like, how deep can I go into the ocean without getting swept away? Why do you want to enter it in the first place? It's like saying, how much sin can I commit before God will stop me from it? Going to heaven. Why do you even want to know? Why don't you just stop and sin is sin? Are you there? So, certain things, we have to rethink them. So, if you look, Songs of Solomon's talk about don't arouse love until you are ready. So, there's something, there are things that arouse. So, if you don't want your emotions aroused unnecessarily, there are things you avoid. And you have to know for yourself what things you avoid and set it as your own personal standard. Amen. Well, one common standard I tell people is this. You want to avoid sexual immorality? Avoid privacy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many people have ever seen for lack of a better term, what we will call a mad woman that you know was a mad woman, and then she has a baby? How many people have ever seen that before? Okay, how many people have ever seen a mad woman? She was mad just by herself. Then later you saw her and she had had a baby. You have seen that before. Now, how many people saw her when she was sleeping with the person, whoever it was? So even a mad person has enough sense not to sleep with anybody in public. It doesn't happen in public. Are you getting what I'm saying? It doesn't happen in public. If you want to maintain purity, then you also avoid a lot of privacy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just avoid a lot of privacy. I'm going to visit him. He's alone. He lives alone. You know. It's my boy. Or I traveled. Or she's traveling. You understand? And then she will stay with you. He will stay with Are you with me? It's just, those are just principles of how to keep your own vessel in honor. Are you with me, anybody? Okay, good. Now I think I've taken all of the time. Do you have some of the questions we haven't treated yet? Yes. Did you get anything from the scriptures? Huh? There's a question? There are plenty of mics here. Don't worry. Okay. Stand on the anointed rug. Sorry, there's nothing about the rug. In case you are watching online, there's nothing mystical about the rug. It's just that it gives better camera view. That's why I say stand there.
Okay, good morning, church. Okay, we're going to kick off from where the last question ended. But before we go into that, from one of the questions we spoke about on Thursday, about expectations changing, I also thought about it in a way that,
you have to explain. Not everybody was here on Thursday. What do you mean by that? What's the question?
Okay, somebody said, how do we handle, a family, a relationship, or a couple intending to get married? How do you handle a case whereby there's expectation, and expectation changes as time, grows, or as time passes by, the world changes, technology changes, and people. So I thought of it, Mommy did give us a broad, enlightened us broadly about that. And I also thought about it that we should also grow as well, but not grow out of the principles of God, as, what Setma also talked about. And I thought about it, my wife was, she's always, women has a way of, they have a way of saying things, but not directly. I thought of it like, okay, what if a lady is telling you she has done the chores at home and she's telling you, maybe she's about to go to bed and you're eating and she's saying, these remaining plates, they are too much, oh. But she's not telling you to wash it. Indirectly, she's telling you, can you help me? With expectations. Okay, sir. Okay, let me say this one. This is it.
You'll have to be faster. So
okay,
that way,
sir, I'm sorry.
I've taken so much time already. Sorry, but I hope at quarter past I can stop. So
okay, sir. Okay, let me just dive straight to the last question we talked about.
No, are you happy? I think that's why I confuse you now. So he said what? He said don't assume. That's what Pastor Ewa
is saying. He said, I am the one assuming.
Yeah.
Apologies for breaking this. He said, somebody's telling you that this place are plenty. That person has not told you anything otherwise. It's just like when the Bible was told us that they told Joseph that is this not your son's cloak? And Jacob said, he has been killed. So we have to be careful. So if the person is just telling you that this thing is much, you can tell the person, don't worry, you can survive it. It's as simple as that. If you want to tell me, please help me to do this thing, then tell me. It's not a matter of, that's where you have to be deliberate with your sentences. Okay. If you want me to do something, my wife is there. If you want me to do something, then you tell me, do it. If you want me to empathize with you, just tell me, this thing is much, then I'll tell you, don't worry, you have the capacity. It's as simple as that.
Good. So I know why you are shouting, and it's the women that are shouting the most. Because they always hint. Or even when you ask them sometimes, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Your husband is not a mind reader. Okay? And what the nicer way to say what Pastor Mwai is saying, is that say what you want to say. Okay? Your husband will do better if you told him what you wanted. Okay? Tell him what you want. Please, can you help me with this floor? Yes. Can you help me with these clothes? Please, can you help me with these dishes? He will do a lot more if you actually just said what you wanted him to do. Okay? Don't assume he will pick the hint. Can't you see that I'm not smiling?
Okay. Our first question still remains our last question for Thursday. It says, what do single guys really want?
Apologies. See, let's be real. The children of these days, tell them that this work is much. They just look at you and continue whatever they are doing. You understand what I'm saying? So learn to communicate. Which one did you say now? We said all you single guys, where are they? Yes, if you are supposed to answer this morning. And
they were looking for you on Thursday.
Yes, we're looking on you. And where is Sunday? They will answer because I don't.
Oh yeah, very quickly. Two single guys, very quickly.
Come and answer also.
What are you looking for? That are, you know. Sorry, very, very quickly. And I will flip it also. What do single ladies want? Abi, do the guys want to know that as well? Okay, so we'll flip it very quickly. Oh yeah.
Okay, praise God. I want a young, beautiful, God-fearing lady that is honest, trustworthy, caring, responsible.
What does God-fearing mean?
It means you should fear God. At least the things you're supposed to do them at the right time, and you should do them in the way of the Lord. So.
All right, thank you. Sunday, are you throwing in anything? Thank you. Yeah, give him a round of applause now. It's not easy. Look, many of you don't know how to, when you are standing, looking at your face, the way you look at somebody sometimes. Somebody speaks, you will be looking at
I want a very calm lady. A very calm and simple lady.
Calm and simple. So he has added simple. What is simplicity?
It's someone that is very natural.
Natural. Very so no natural. Attachment, no makeup.
Yes, that is my choice.
No earring.
No, I'm not talking about no makeup. I don't really like makeup. Okay. So I like someone very simple. Okay. With a natural beauty. That's what I like.
Okay. Great. Good. Oh yeah. Ladies, help us very quickly. What do the ladies want? Oh yeah.
Before the ladies come, please, Sunday should know, and all of you should know. That is only women that are not satisfied with their height. They are not satisfied with their hair. Yes, now they will have their heels. Because, yes, don't say, yes. What is his fashion? Okay, I'm just telling you. So, Sunday should know that in this age that we live, he has to live with those things. He just has to live with them. I don't have a problem. My wife can wear shoes as well as this. I'll just be laughing. When it's time to rub it, you will rub the ankle. Don't worry. Single ladies, where are you?
Who is going to tell us?
Damia, come. Come. Are you not a single lady? You don't know what you want.
Quickly.
Yeah, what?
Praise God. So I want a born again child of God, because I feel if a man is born again, then every other thing will be added onto him. I want a presentable man, a man that I can present to people that will not be shy to present him that this is my man.
What does that mean?
If I present, it doesn't have to be fine, but presentable. Somebody like Flex. Flex is very.
You know, a black man is blushing. The man's color is.
And the last two, I want a man with prospect and comes from a good family.
What?
A man with prospect.
What is prospect?
Okay. So you have to have a plan. You have to know what you're doing. You have to know what you want to do with your life. You want to know what you want to do in the future. Then you come from a good family.
So it's what? Surulere.
You don't have, me, I want to, I believe that you don't, when you want to get married, you don't have to have everything. Once you are doing something and your man is doing something, you guys can work together and put things together.
Good. So, who else? They have volunteered you by popular demand. You know, that one we can't answer. I think we have spoken about specs this morning. So you know where to place everything. Okay?
Praise God. One of the most important things for me is security. Security in the fact that I'm always going to trust your decisions, that it will not just be a selfish one, it will cover me and you. The decisions that will cover both of us. And those decisions are not coming from just, it's coming from God. So you have a very good relationship with God. And another thing, for me personally, due to growing up, I would cherish a man who comes from a good family. A family where there's a lot of grounded love and all that. Yes.
Thank you. So I think I can pick a unifying thing in all what they were saying, which is that we were all speaking out of how they grew up. You understand what I'm saying? You know, how they grew up, what their experiences were, their background. That's where many of the things you were hearing were coming from. Sorry? Well, I mean, just that's where I'm going, you know, that they are putting up all of those things out of, you know, your own experience. I grew up in a family where there was this. I don't want that. You understand? But you have to ask yourself and say, is this scriptural? You understand what I'm saying? So when you look at all of those things, you have to ask yourself, what are the things that are inflexible that I can't with them? And that means that those things are scriptural. And what are the things that, yeah, maybe. Because if you say, oh, for instance, I think two of you talked about background, for instance, I must come from a clinical kind of family. What if he does it? Well, he's a solid believer. You get what I'm saying? As solid can be, however you want to describe it, humanly speaking, solid believer and all of that, what happens? Yes, you want?
Okay, as much as we don't have it all, I mean, it may not come from a very good family where there's love and all that, but what is his own orientation about a family? So we get to speak about it. I get to understand that, okay, this is what he wants to. He has seen some things and he wants to make some changes. What do you want? Because I will ask questions. I would want to know, what kind of family do you intend to build?
I hope you get that balance. So something that, yes, it's your spec, this is your desire, but you are seeing this person who is absolutely everything, but that one is not what you thought it would be or what you wished it to be. Would you say no because of that, or you are able to say, okay, you know what, this is the guy still? You get it. So great, what's your next question?
Okay, the next one. I am presently in a relationship where the opposite sex talks dirty and throws advances at my partner. My partner entertains all this with no boundaries, and I don't find it comfortable at all. But it seems like I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. Whenever I speak to my partner about it, what do I do about this?
Please don't label me as a cantankerous. But you see, you have to dance like Michael Jackson. It's backslide, just move away. It's a problem. Because if they are making passes and it's not, if you make a complaint, let me say, if my wife makes a complaint, or I'm going to marry her, and she makes a complaint about the relationship of other women to me, and I don't do anything about it, then it's a problem for her, and it should be a problem for me too. Because at that time, you're supposed to be concentrating. And at the same time, it tells you what will happen in the near future. Anything you don't take care of from the root, okay, we'll catch up with you in the future. So don't say, it's just like that. Everybody is always. Even if you know that people come, you should put a boundary. don't always accommodate everything because the person you want to marry is accommodating, or even if he complains, don't say you are complaining too much. That person is helping you to observe very well that you are living in a dangerous circle. Thank
you. And like I said on Thursday, we are taking everything at face value. You don't have time to probe deeper and deeper and deeper. So for instance, when you use the word talk dirty, there are certain things you don't say. You understand? There are some things you don't say to people. The Bible talks about it. It talks about no coarse jesting. Abi, is that the book of Ephesians? Look for that. Look for that phrase. Are you with me? At the console. Yes. No coarse jesting. I think that's Ephesians. You know. So some things are just improper. That's coarse jesting. When somebody once says no vulgar joking. You know. So yes, no gutter talk. Uh-huh. So when you find somebody that they are always talking that way and the person is laughing, it says something about the person's personality that you are accepting that. What I tell people is that, you know, if someone was telling me about somebody and said, she even told the person that single people, you know, that the doctors told her that she part of what's wrong with her is that she needs to have more sex. I laughed. I said, there's nothing like that. I said, but you see, what she's also doing is she's prepping him. Prepping him. So she's saying those things to him and he's not reacting. He's not how do I call it? He's not revolting against it. He's accepting it. She's breaking down his defenses. For the day when she will hit him and finish him. Okay, yeah. So Ephesians 5:4. He says these are the things that are not proper. Maybe you should go up a little bit very quickly. Are we done? Very quickly, go up a little bit. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Then verse 4, it says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. So some things are just not proper. You don't entertain them. Okay, we used to joke when we met school. There are some, because if you deal with gynecologists, they're always dealing with women and all that. There are some of them that when they teach and the way they joke, the jokes they make, you understand? It tells you, then the next thing you hear about this man's lifestyle, it's not surprising. Yeah, because his flimsy talk already tells you that he will be that kind of person. And if he wasn't, he will become. Okay?
Praise God. Sorry, I want to use this opportunity to chip in something here. Concerning the ladies who said they want or they need a born again man, something like that. All of these things, when a person said, when you said you need something, you must remember that there is a price you need to pay for it, for that very thing. Now, for a born again of a thing, if, peradventure, you meet a man who says to you, you don't put on with on or attachment, and you love it, you love putting on with on and attachment, can you go with it? Can you abide with that? Can you accept that man as the born again person you really want? Just like what the Bible says something here in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. I mean, chapter 2, verse 9, it said, in like manner, women, adorn yourself in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair nor costly array. So all these things, when I remember I told a lady some time ago concerning this with one and attachment of a thing, where it is written, and she was longing for a born again or a God-fearing someone or something like that. When you now table the things that are required of her to do as a child of God, as one who requires or who needs a born-again child of God, are you getting it? So you find out that she's fading away or she's taking away because she believes that your rules is going to be much. But that is what is written there. Mm-hmm. So that is the question. For a lady who said they want a born-again child of God or a born-again Christian or a husband for that.
Yeah.
If he tells you what it means to be a born-again child of God, the appearance and what you need to do and how you need to appear as a born-again child of God without you reason or thinking of the world, wayward, the thing that the things that the world think is the way to do it, which is not the way to do it. Okay, can you
so
do
I,
it?
So I know, yeah. So where you are going to is doctrine. You are going to doctrine of whether women can wear gold or what have you. I think I dealt with that, but it was some years ago. It's called what? Of gold, earrings, are we? And all that. You know, basically the key word, operational word in this place is moderation. That's the operational word. If you want to interpret this right, you go to 1 Peter 3 also. We'll talk about that there. I think we saw one recently in Genesis. Those are the scriptures that people apply, you know, and we look at them and we broke them down. So when you break them down, what you'll find, okay, is not just about don't wear braids or don't wear earring. Here in this particular one, this is one scripture. What you find here, the key operation, I always talk about an operational word or the key word in a verse that tells you what's the emphasis, like seek ye first the kingdom of God. I can seek the kingdom of God on his righteousness. I still haven't fulfilled that verse. The key operational word is the word first. The key operational word here is the word of moderation. And then how we define and interpret moderation is another question entirely. Okay, what does that really mean in modern times? So it's not, but again, speaking to your view, okay, however it is, wrong or right, well, if somebody believes this and you don't believe that, that's what you're also saying. You don't believe that. How do you go together? No, you can't. That's all. Amos 3:3. Can two go together except they agree? Abby? Are you with me, anybody? I'm going to Benimi. I'm going to Sokoto. Can we go together? I'll be going to Sokoto now. I'm going to Benin. We can't go together. I'm going to Ikorodu. Me, I'm off to Ikoyi. Can we go together? No, you go to. You understand? So, again, when you come to that, so when people try to, I mean, that's where you also have to be careful. You know, where doctrine is concerned. Do we believe the same? So yes, you can. You are born again, but you believe the same, okay? And you need to identify and recognize that do we have things or issues that will be very, very strong frictional points for us? If they will be, then you probably need to reconsider your relationship, okay? Because if that person doesn't believe like you do, then you have problems. You will have problems, okay? You have somebody you believe that, look, everything except I go to the river. Pray for me. And blah, blah. You say, no, we can just pray. You will still have problems. Okay? Because you don't believe the same way. There will be some friction. It doesn't mean you can't overcome them, but there will be friction. So you need to consider again and say, can we go together? I don't think we can. I think we should go our separate ways. Okay? That's valid. Amen. Amen. So about almost everything, actually, you need to define what are the things that make you not to agree? And whether those things are deal breakers. Okay, somebody says, look, I want 7 children. I only want 1. If I say anything more than 1, you better think twice. Okay, because like joke, you think that when I'm pregnant, will you now go and remove it? Men have walked out of the house. Because of that, I told you, I mustn't see another child, I'm done. And that becomes the end. And he even told you before. Okay, so there are things that you need to look at and say, no, we can't go together. All right? Good. I think we'll need to start wrapping up now.
Okay, sir.
We have how many there?
Most of the questions here, we've answered them on Thursday.
Okay, so if you have answered it, no need to go on there.
Yes, so this one says, what, I think this is going to the married couples in the house. What are the things you wish you knew before marriage?
Okay, I think that would be our last question, really, from that set. What are the things you wish you knew before marriage? Married people, quick answer. Anything. What do you wish you knew before you got married? Anything, sir, that you wish you knew before you got married?
To know before you marry, it's what you don't know at all. You will not even know it. When you find yourself there, then you will know it. You know better.
You know?
Let me tell you what he has just told you now. He has just given you an interpretation of a Yoruba proverb. Where they say, ile oko, ile eko, they mean marriage is a school. When you get there, you will learn. You will learn that, actually, I didn't know. You know? So, but really, somebody said marriage is the only thing you get a certificate for before you start learning. Are you with me? That's why we have a certain disposition, even with marriage counseling. And people might think that, oh, they don't take it that strictly. When you take it strictly, I say, you must do 3 months marriage counseling. I say, after the 3 months, you start learning. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have it and do those things. You should. But you discover that there are so many things you have to learn. Okay? But what do you wish you knew? Anybody? You wanted to say something you knew before? Quick answer.
Okay.
Like you gave us. Yes.
What I wish I knew before we got married was, is anger, he gets angry easily. He used to. Now it's better. So when we first got married and I saw the anger at first, I was like, wow, I didn't know this was there. So, but of course, you have to walk in line with it. So, and the thing I keep telling people is that, like we've been saying, the love that you use to get married is not the love that sustains the marriage. There are two different kind of loves. If you use the love you use to get married,
the gish gish love, that's what they understand.
Yes,
if you use the
gish
gish,
it will not work. It cannot work. Absolutely a no. So from now, just know that this love that I am using to get married, once I get married, I leave it and I start another love, which is love of sustaining that marriage. It is absolutely like that. And the second thing is that when you want gold, before gold comes out, it comes out of where? The ground. It goes through a process. Then you see the gold. So the gold, you will not see the gold before the marriage. You will see the gold after the marriage.
Okay, so what I had written in my notes was that be a master at that agape. Spend your time developing yourself in that area. If you develop yourself in that 1 Corinthians 13, the better you are at it, the better you will be in marriage. Okay, so spend your time developing that patience, that kindness, that just develop that more and more. Okay, so she wished she knew all of those things. Okay, so that's not the one to this one, Abby.
Hallelujah.
Any other married person? Sorry, first, so that we know that is done. Any other married person? You just married. Is there anything you wish you knew? Eh? So that all those are personal that you wish you. So basically, you just wish you knew his personality better. Okay. I wish I knew, you know, more of the fundamental differences between a man and a woman. Like sometimes when a woman is talking, she doesn't need any counseling, any answer. She just wants to talk. And this happened. She doesn't need you to tell her this is what you should have done. She just needs you to sit there and say, okay, wow, hello. That's all. When she's done, she feels better. Okay, so I just wish I knew that there was some fundamental difference. You don't need to say anything. So sometimes she's not telling you in order to hear something and you to give her direction. She's just trying to onboard it. Okay, and that a woman, somebody said women are detailed. Men are headliners. So when the man comes in, say, how's your day? Fine. What happened at work? Everything was okay. They asked the meeting. Fine. The woman is thinking, Egbami, a whole 8 hours, you have been away. Instead of you to tell me, you know when the man came in, he was not even smiling at first. Then I said, good morning, sir. And then he looked at me and said, good morning. She's ready to listen to all of that, you know, and on the other hand, the man doesn't want to hear all of that. You know, on a good day, the woman comes in, she wants to tell you everything. You know, then I left here, then Kinekon, you know, she even wore a red dress today. She has never worn a red dress before in her life. It's the first time she wore the red dress. And it was nice, so I didn't even know red dresses are nice. That's not the story she's telling you. She has first described red dress. Then she comes back to the actual story again. Already by that time, you are thinking, oh, my fellow movie. Oh, I need to watch this movie. I need to watch this news. But you better sit down and listen, because she needs to just unburden. Okay? So, differences. All right, so.
Hallelujah. Thank you for the opportunity. I want to ask from the message this morning. I want to ask from First Corinthians chapter 4. Because in our society today, we have a lot of abusive marriage that even make headlines in time parks. And I stand to be corrected. You know, most of the time, Apostle Paul addressed people based on what they are going through in the particular areas. So, but today, this present day, sometimes we pick out scripture and we speak it like we generalize it, we speak it to everybody. So I want to fully get what Apostle Paul was saying here compared to what is happening in our society now, even in the gospel. Okay. So what I have here, Corinthians, okay, let me go to Ephesians 5 because of the time. He said, husband, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and give himself for it. And I believe that the cross that Jesus took for us is the demonstration of the agape love that God have for us. So this is my question. The death of Christ, did it guarantee every Christian to make heaven?
They are going again into, what do we call it? Eternal security. So that's doctrine. That's not about marriage. So I won't go into that today. They are going into doctrine. It's a doctrine called eternal security. It goes around in circles. Okay? The very quickest thing I can tell you is this. There are many scriptures that I can fish out for you, and then I will ask you to read them. Then I'll ask you the question, what does that mean in the light of eternal security? Eternal security is simply once saved, always saved. You know, that is this guarantee that if once I get saved, no matter what I do, Abby, am I expanding it further for you? No matter what I do, I will still get to heaven. Okay? You read, for instance, in Revelations, it says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. So you read some of those scriptures, you read it in Matthew chapter 13, then you ask yourself, what does that mean? Okay, if you read Hebrews chapter 6, those who have tasted of the powers of the world to come, who have gone through all of the fundamentals and even tasted of the powers of the world to come, if they were to turn back, they cannot be renewed again. What does that mean? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's doctrine. It's not related to what we're talking about today. But I'm just pointing out to you that there are many scriptures. I'm as familiar with it as can be, but it's not for today. Okay? And there are many scriptures that every teacher of eternal security I've heard teaches, but they never go to those scriptures. Because those scriptures will completely conflict with what they are saying. The other thing is this. Paul says you should follow the teacher watching the end of their faith. Meaning sometimes you watch people and see how they end up. Okay? I can tell you many stories of people who have taught it and sadly how they ended up. Also showing us that there might be an issue about what they are teaching. Okay? Great. Thank you.
So, permit me. We have two questions. So I know,
Pastor NY, are you permitting him, everybody? How many people will give 5 more minutes? Okay, that's 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 minutes. Are we? You all give 5 minutes now.
Okay, this one says, what is the highest form of intimacy? Okay, sorry, what is the highest form of intimacy? Okay, what highest form of intimacy can a Christian couple have? Yeah, that's what
I see
here.
Just go and read Hebrews 13, verse 4. Are we? What's that? The marriage bed is undefiled. Okay. And fornicators and adulterers, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Meaning, let them have whatever level of intimacy they want. That married bed is undefiled. But don't have it with anybody outside of your marriage.
Okay, the next one says, for godly relationship, God has made it explicitly clear that there should be no form of immorality. But why do those that claim to know and love Christ emotionally blackmail their partners into having sex with them? Can I read again?
Okay. You want to comment?
This is violence.
Basically, God says there should be no sexual immorality, have you? Uh-huh. But some people, why do they blackmail
their partners into having sex
into
with
having
them?
Sex with them.
Okay. First of all, point of correction, there shouldn't be... once you're a believer, there's nothing like godly relationship. As a believer, the life you live is godly, ordinarily. It's a natural, it's a given. So, because people tend to use that when they want to do something. So even marriage, they bring it. They say, we want to do traditional marriage. So they say, we want to do Christian traditional marriage. So that it will not have beer and some things like that. Mm-mm. If you are saved, you are saved. You do the things of the saved. We've also seen people, to answer your question, people who will say, if you don't give me, I'll go and take it outside. Or if you don't give me, I will die. Ain't no go die. Nobody don't die. Lack of it has never killed anybody. But we have seen people who have been blackmailed into doing it, and then it turns into pregnancy, and the person gets abandoned, and another person again is in the picture. It leads to another thing again, heartbreak. And then you see baby mama one, baby mama two, baby mama three. It's all a charade. It's all a It has always been like that. So, what I want to say to especially the single ladies, the ladies, is do not ever, I know girls, some girls do it. I've seen a sister who said, she does not test, she's not marrying this man. And the man had to report to the church. Anything when it pass you, you have pastors. That's why you have a guide that will help you. You can meet pastor for counsel. But for the ladies, never let any guy pressurize you or blackmail you into going to the bed, because it's a proof of your love. Lie doesn't work. It's deception from the pit of hell. Never, don't ever do it.
Anything you want to buy, you first test it. Have you? That's the language. You first test it. Uh-huh. Can I open Gala and test it? And then say, I don't like it, steak. Eh? They will beat me. So, why? Because it's a complete loss, isn't it? There's a story, but it's largely Yoruba, so it will be difficult. When they say, which is two people, one is carrying, sand, and they want to cross a footbridge, just tiny plank. The other guy is carrying gallon of oil. Then you, it's me first. I got there first. Then you put the thing down. Then you start fighting. They start fighting. Then this one kicked the bucket of sand. Wah! He poured on the floor. The other one kicked the bucket of oil. Wah! He poured on the floor. Then people came and, what's wrong with you people? Now calm down, all of you. You're old enough to be able to settle this kind of thing easily. Calm down. Yeah, take your team, be going. What happens? The guy with the sand, we pack his sand. The one with oil, what happens? They don't lose now. So, very often, the woman is carrying oil. You understand? So, sometimes you have to tell yourself, I have a lot to lose. Even if I'm right, there's no point in fighting you. I stand to lose a lot. And I will not get into this with you. It's not Bible. It's just wisdom tale. Are you with me? I have a lot to lose, so I will let you go. Pass. Because what I carry, if I lose it, I can't get it back. Okay, so you have to be careful and determine that there are certain things you just don't engage in. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, sir.
And give Uche a hand. He's helped me since Thursday. So thank you all very much. I hope you've been blessed. And the gentleman on doctrine, I hope you got a bit. I didn't give him much scriptures, but there are other scriptures on the, you know, on the dressing bit of it. You know, one other one in the New Testament, very popular, is 1 Peter 3. Three. That's 1 Timothy you were talking about. 1 Peter 3 is another scripture, because the Bible says out of two or three. So don't take a doctrine out of one scripture. Okay, so you have to look through scriptures in order to build a doctrine. That's what I mean by this is doctrine. So when you want to establish a doctrine, you must look through the scriptures and be able to establish that same thought in other scriptures. Okay, not just in one scripture, because I can make one scripture look like this or interpret it this way. But when I start using scripture to interpret scripture, I will eventually see the truth of what God is saying. So in the New Testament, the more popular one is also 1 Peter 3. And when you look in 1 Peter 3, that moderation part of it is further emphasized. Okay? And if you take it out and you talk about, it talks of the woman should pay more attention to the internal, not the external, not merely the outward. Okay? Okay, they have it here. It says, but rather, maybe you go up one verse. It says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, merely outward. Okay, you are using the NKJV, very good. Do not let your adornment be, you can remove this because it's in italics, meaning that the interpreters added it. Do not let it be outward. It means they added it. It wasn't there in the original Greek. So do not let your adornment be outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on what? Is in italics. The interpreters added it. Or doing what? It means they shouldn't wear clothes. Eh? Is that what the Bible is saying? So that's why the interpreters put this. They were trying to say, he can't be saying don't wear clothes. You understand? Why? Because what he was trying to say is put an emphasis on your internal or your personality. The outfit of a quiet and a gentle spirit, rather than the emphasis being on the external. That's what we've been talking about today, 1 Corinthians 13, that pay attention to that and develop your personality. Okay? Develop your personality. Make yourself the person that you will want to marry. Happily. Alright? So the emphasis in the scriptures, when you go through them, I think Genesis 32? Is also the other scripture oftentimes referred to when Jacob asked the people to bring all their gold and all of that, collected it back from them. So they quote that as well. Again, he asked them to bring their clothes. So is the scripture saying they shouldn't wear clothes? When people get born again, should they throw away all their clothes? No, that's not what it's saying. So the emphasis is moderation. Put an emphasis in the right place. And the emphasis should be on your personality. Not on the external. Don't make the external the only thing you show up and it's all glam, glam, glam. Abby? Are you still there? You show up and you are like you stepped out of the magazine. You understand what I mean? Everything is in place, eyebrow, eyeshadow. Somebody once said that when a lady got to heaven and Peter carried the fire, looked the net. Not Janet. This is not the picture I have here. But that's not Bible. Okay. Alright, let's stand up very quickly. We've taken quite some time. But if that was a blessing to you online or here, then I think it's worth the time. Let's give God thanks for his word. Let's give God thanks for wisdom. Let's thank him for helping us. And let's trust him for good homes.